A queue for bread in South Khartoum. Hungry people hoping to take advantage of a temporary ceasefire that's been extended by the two warring sides. Some have been waiting for many hours and worry they'll go home empty-handed.
I swear, I have been here since 3 a.m. So far, I have not been able to get one loaf of bread. My children have not eaten anything since yesterday, and today is almost gone.
The UN is warning the humanitarian crisis in Sudan is turning into what it calls a full-blown catastrophe, and millions are affected.
We are government employees, and our salaries have not been paid. Most of the people are now reprioritizing their needs. They're not even targeting 30% of their basic needs. We pray this crisis comes to an end, and our country restores peace and security.
Fuel in the capital is in short supply. Most petrol stations are closed. The few that are open have long queues. There is relief for some who've been unable to access their savings for more than 2 weeks. The Central Bank of Sudan says most of its branches outside the capital have reopened. It's reassured savers that despite looting, their deposits are safe.
So far, we've not faced any problems. Clients are handling their accounts, cash is flowing, and people are buying and selling. The situation was difficult in the early days of the conflict, but now everything is back to normal.
People trapped in the areas of Bahri and East Nile, north of the capital Khartoum, are bracing for more airstrikes and explosions. As the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces battle for control of Sudan at the expense of its people. Victoria Gatenby, Al Jazeera.
And Heber Morgan has more from Khartoum.
Both sides, the Sudanese army and the rapid support forces, have placed conditions for their envoys or their delegates to talk to each other. They have not agreed to direct talks. That's the commander of the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army have not agreed to a direct meeting, but they did say that they will be sending envoys to meet each other. But each side has a condition. The Sudanese army wants the talks to focus on a ceasefire and on making sure that the rapid support forces is no longer part of Sudan's political or military institutions. Meanwhile, the rapid support forces has the condition of a ceasefire on the ground that is actually being implemented before holding any talks with the Sudanese army. And right now, that is not happening. There have been airstrikes in the city of Soba in the eastern part of the capital, Khartoum. And this is just a continuation of repeated airstrikes overnight around the vicinity of the presidential palace and in the northern part of the capital. Fighting has also been reported in the city of Omdurman, with heavy artillery fire being heard, fired by the rapid support forces and surface-to-air missiles targeting the fighter jets of the Sudanese army. And this is when there's supposed to be a ceasefire right now. It's the second day of a six-week ceasefire that has been agreed upon by both sides. But on the ground, people say they're not seeing any of it being manifested. And based on that, it doesn't look like those two sides will be meeting anytime soon with the conditions that they set.
Meanwhile, Hara Mutasa reports on the refugee situation in neighboring South Sudan.
Well, we're hearing a lot from people who left Sudan and who are now in Juba. They've been talking about the journey, what it took to get here. They say in Sudan, they had to go through several checkpoints, and the people manning these checkpoints would charge each of them a certain amount of money, not in Sudanese money, in American dollars to pass. When they get to the border with South Sudan, it seems like those with money seem to get out faster. For example, if they want to get a private plane or a private bus or truck, they pay a lot of money to board these vehicles to then reach Juba and other parts of the country. But many people don't have the money, so thousands of people are still stuck along the border waiting for either the government or aid agencies to try and reach them. There is some effort to get to these people, but the issue is, of course, the roads aren't always good. They're trying to get as much transport as possible, from buses, from barges to use the river, or aeroplanes to try and airlift people out. So it's a long process. The thousands are still stuck there. Here in Juba, the capital, people are also talking about the fear of shortages. They're saying that, remember, South Sudan doesn't make much, so a lot of its products come from Sudan. So there's the fear that soon, if this crisis continues, there'll be shortages of fuel and other food. So people are worried about that. And that's just an example of how the crisis in Sudan is affecting South Sudan and will eventually affect all the other neighboring countries in the region.